I once had a young woman working for my family as a nanny. She decided to take a class in English as a foreign language, and one day after class, she came home with a very pointed question. She said that her teacher had said offhandedly during the class that the students, all of whom were foreigners, should be careful of Americans. Why? Because, he said, they treat their pets better than they treat their parents. She wanted to know if this was true. In many cases, it is sadly true. Many Americans don't even consider taking care of their parents, and when they age and are unable to take care of themselves, there's nowhere else to go. But what happens when a person tries hard to take care of her aged parent? She finds a facility that also provides nursing care and assisted living, but then finds that the facility is corrupt, the industry is corrupt, and the government doesn't do anything to correct it. What she does is she blows the whistle. I'm John Kiriakou. Welcome to The Whistleblowers. Our guest today is not a famous name or an industry leader. She's a woman who loved her father and who wanted to do right by him. Susie Telefsky is an attorney whose father developed dementia later in life. She sought out the best medical care for him, and when it became clear that he couldn't take care of himself in his own home, and she lacked the medical expertise to care for him in hers, she looked for the best retirement home for him where he could receive the memory care that he needed. She found what she thought was a great place for him, a government nursing home. But then she noticed that he wasn't acting like his usual self. She said that rather than deal with him and his medical issues, the nursing home plied him with powerful drugs to restrain him and to cause him to spend most of his time in a state of unconsciousness. Finally, the home transferred him involuntarily to another facility, a transfer that the Telefsky family had never agreed to. Susie Telefsky responded by doing exactly what she should have done. She sued the Health and Hospital Corporation of Marion County and their private partner, American Senior Communities, arguing that her father's rights had been violated. A trial court dismissed the case, but a federal court of appeals said that it could proceed. Mr. Telefsky died in 2021, but the case was allowed to continue on. The issue was really quite simple. It was whether a person can use Section 1983 of the federal code to sue a nursing home that accepts federal Medicare and Medicaid funds. In the end, the Biden administration argued that Congress did not intend to allow Section 1983 lawsuits when it enacted the nursing home legislation. But by a vote of 7-2, the Supreme Court of the United States disagreed, and it ruled that Susie Telefsky was right and the Biden administration was wrong. We're happy to have Susie Telefsky with us today. Susie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
Thanks for joining us. Life really does take some odd twists and turns. I want to begin by reiterating that you are an attorney, but you do not specialize in medical law or nursing home litigation or the like. You entered into this case because you were a daughter concerned about her father's medical well-being. You found your father what you thought was a great nursing home that could provide him with the care that he needed. And then what happened? What was it that first made you think that something was amiss?
Yes, well, in the summer of 2016, I noticed that he had rapidly deteriorated and that he wasn't able to eat or walk or talk. And so it was just a rapid decline, and it was quite suspicious to me. And so that's what started this whole thing.
Your father had been drugged. He was eventually transferred against his will and against your will to another facility, and you started thinking about suing. Certainly, that's exactly what you should have done. But I know how daunting that is. I know that you know how daunting that is. It's very time consuming. It's very expensive. But you went forward with it anyway. What were you thinking when you first made the decision? Were you confident enough that you were right and there would be an attorney out there to help you in this very specialized field?
Well, I was the attorney that pursued this case initially. I could not find another attorney to help me for many, many months. I tried many attorneys. I first of all, started off with medical malpractice attorneys because I was not sure who the actual owner was of the nursing home. It's managed by a private corporation called American Senior Communities. But then I actually found out that it was owned by the Health and Hospital Corporation of Marion County, which is a municipal entity of Marion County, Indiana, which essentially is Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And after that, I started thinking about, wow, you know, this seems as though the government is violating my father's rights under FINRA, the Federal Nursing Home Reform Act. And, you know, I know about Section 1983. It's a very powerful civil rights statute, the most powerful one that we have. And I thought to myself, these could be very much civil rights violations. So then I tried to find civil rights attorneys. But again, I couldn't find anybody to help me. Until the very end, I found one attorney probably a month before, you know, we filed the lawsuit, which I thought was, you know, the statute of limitations. So, you know, I did all the research and everything. So I thought we need to get this into the Northern District of Indiana in federal court. But really, we needed to get it to the Seventh Circuit because that's how you establish precedent. So I wasn't sure what was going to happen in the Northern District. I figured that the defendants were going to file a motion to dismiss, which they did, and they won that. So then it was right when the pandemic started. I was very, very worried, of course, about my father when the pandemic started, because nursing home patients were really the ones that were most affected by the pandemic. But 3 days after our case got dismissed, you know, a miracle happened in my life. And an appellate attorney from the prestigious law firm of Arlen Porter contacted me on a Sunday night, and he said he was interested in helping us take it to the Seventh Circuit. He thought we could possibly get it reversed. And so, of course, I wanted his help. And that's, you know, basically what happened.
And it's very unusual for an appellate court to overturn a lower court. More than 98% of lower court decisions are upheld on appeal. The original court in which you filed the case, as you said, threw it out. And so you went to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Right. Were you confident of victory on appeal? You won there, of course.
No,
but the entire prospect.
I wasn't confident. I was like 50-50 chance, because there was one circuit, the Third Circuit, that had recognized these types of causes of action. It was really the only one at that time in the country. So that case originated from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It's the Grammer case. And so I figured we had a 50-50 shot, you know, so I wasn't necessarily confident, but I certainly thought, you know, we could prevail. So I was very happy that this law firm stepped in, and the appellate attorney, his name is Andrew Tutt. He's really a brilliant legal mind. And with him, I felt much more, you know, confident that we could succeed. And we certainly did. We won 3-0, and we did change the law.
Wow. After you won at that level, the federal appeals court level, the Biden administration appealed part of that verdict, forcing your case to go to the Supreme Court. Is that right?
Yeah, it wasn't the Biden administration. It was the petitioners. The petitioners are the Health and Hospital Corporation of Marion County and their private partner, American Senior Communities. So they petitioned for certiorari to the United States Supreme Court, and they were successful. The Supreme Court did grant them certiorari. So what happened was, of course, each side would like the support of the Solicitor General of the United States, right? And the client here is the Department of Health and Human Services, you know, of the Biden administration. So we did try to convince them to come in on our side. The other, you know, side, you know, the petitioners also tried. And what happened was they split the baby. So they ended up coming in against us on the nursing home question. You have to understand, when this case got to the Supreme Court, it really blew up because the question was not just about the nursing home question. It was actually about the first question that was presented to the court was really a monumental question. It's whether anyone who is the recipient of any of the social safety net program type of laws like Medicaid, Medicare, CHIP, SNAP, TANF, whether any of these individuals can sue states or, you know, counties or municipalities for violations under those pieces of legislation. So for civil rights violations, okay? their rights. So using Section 1983, now, this had been long established civil rights precedent. So what they were trying to do was reverse about 55 years worth of civil rights precedent. So this would have disenfranchised and, you know, deprived about 100 million people of their long standing civil rights. And it would have been absolutely catastrophic if we had lost this case, especially for disabled people. So the case, you know, started off with a very narrow question about nursing homes and the rights of nursing home patients in publicly owned nursing homes and whether they can enforce their rights under the Federal Nursing Home Reform Act. But the actual big monumental question is really why the Supreme Court took this case. And so everyone under the sun who's an expert, you know, in civil rights or in nursing home, I should say nursing home litigation, but in, you know, Supreme Court advocacy, you know, all these experts thought we were going to lose this case, you know, all the disability rights, you know, advocates, you know, in the top organizations, civil rights organizations, you know, they all thought we were going to lose this case. They thought that the Supreme Court had signaled by taking the case that it was going to reverse on question one. And of course, then thereby we'd lose on question two. So I went from a very little case to a monumental case real quick.
And then in the end, the victory was lopsided. It was 7-2. So besides the victory on your part, the one that was specific to your father's care, what did that victory mean on a broader level?
Well, on a broader level, it basically reaffirms, you know, the 55 years worth of civil rights precedent that we've had in this country. The Supreme Court, I say, came in on the side of the people. You know, they came in on the side of the little guys. And, you know, I'm so glad that I fought all the way to the end. You know, I was under immense pressure to somehow back out of this case, you know, which would have been pretty much impossible for me to do, you know, to somehow pull it out of the Supreme Court. But I, as the respondent, really was not in that position. The petitioners could have pulled it at any time, but they decided to pursue it full throttle. And, you know, Marion County, you have to understand, which is, you know, Indianapolis sits in Marion County. They're one and the same. They are controlled 100% by Democrats. So this was a very odd case for a bunch of Democrats to pursue. And they teamed up with the Indiana Attorney General, Todd Rokita, who is a very ultra right-wing conservative. And he brought in 21 other state attorneys general, you know, generals to support them. OK, so it was a very odd pairing on the other side. You know, the people who are normally, you know, at odds with each other teamed up, you know, to basically take away the rights of the American people. So that's, you know, one of the reasons why everybody thought we were going to lose. I mean, you know, we're taking on it. Basically, it's a Federalist Society initiative. They've been targeting this for a long time, you know, to take away the rights, the civil rights of Americans and to essentially shift more rights to the state governments. So it would have allowed state governments basically to administer these federal programs really however they want without much supervision or, you know, compliance or anything. So because the only other option is for the Department of Health and Human Services to defund them. And they usually would never do that because then it would hurt even more people. You know, so that's the only option. So the best way is to force states into compliance, you know, for the rights of beneficiaries of these social safety net programs is, of course, for the beneficiaries to be able to sue themselves.
Right.
So this is very critically important, especially for disabled people who, you know, do receive help from the state governments, you know, from these federal programs. Like Medicaid is a federal matching program. So a bulk of the money comes from the federal government, and the state governments are supposed to contribute something, and they're supposed to abide by the federal law. But, you know, there are instances where the state government, you know, they have some flexibility in how they run these programs. So they might decide, well, we're not going to pay anymore for wheelchairs, or we're not going to pay anymore for this kind of, you know, cancer treatment, you know, for certain individuals. And normally, you know, beneficiaries have been able to sue for deprivation of their rights. And that's what Marion County was trying to do. They were trying to eliminate that option for everyone. And you have to understand the reason why Marion County really was doing this is because they have a scheme here in the state of Indiana where most of the nursing homes are publicly owned. I would say about 93-94%. So it's like over 500 nursing homes. And this state is very, very unique. And the reason they do that is because they're able you know, to pull in extra Medicaid money from the federal government. So they're county owned nursing homes, but they own them just on paper, and they hire private companies to manage them. Okay. And so they pull in all this extra money. And what they do is they divert most of the money for their own county uses, and they don't use it for the nursing home patients. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what has happened here in the state of Indiana is we get more money than any other state in the country in Medicaid funding for these nursing homes, yet we have the worst nursing homes in the country.
Yeah.
When I found this out, that was a problem for me.
That's a big problem. Stay with us, Susie. We are going to take a break. Susie Tilevsky initiated a case that has helped literally hundreds of thousands of Americans living in nursing homes all across the country to protect their human rights and civil liberties. We're going to go to that short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to her about why the mainstream media ignored this important case. Stay tuned.
There's no end in sight over how you're going to continue to destroy the earth.
It's the case of the madness of the people.
I tried to go to the gym, but I'm certainly not ready to fight Russia.
This is all so absurd.
This is third world lunacy. Brainwashing.
As Ursula von der Leyen likes to say, we have the tools.
Why don't we just start with stability and business deals?
You know what? Planet of being living on land.
We have very good propaganda in our press here in Europe.
I think we don't know the aftermath.
Anytime that you're not allowed to ask questions, you should ask all of the questions.
The more questions asked, the better the answers will be.
Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with Susie Tilevsky, who initiated a case that the Supreme Court of the United States ended up deciding that allowed Americans to sue states that receive Medicare and Medicaid when their rights are being violated. Susie, it's good to have you with us. Thanks for staying.
Thank you very much.
Before we get to the media coverage, I wanted to ask you a question as an attorney. Having gone through the details of your case, it seems very clear to me that you were right and the other side was wrong. The state of Indiana, the Biden administration, the defendants, Americans have a constitutional right to a redress of grievances. We have civil rights, human rights, civil liberties, at least we're supposed to. Were you surprised at the big guns that came out in opposition to your suit? You mentioned a moment ago about 21 state attorneys general. It must have been frightening and puzzling to know that you were having to take on the power and the authority of not only the state of Indiana, but also the U.S. Department of Justice and the attorneys general of all these other states. But a major American law firm decided to help you, and that may be what pushed you over the top. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I don't think I was that surprised that the state of Indiana was supporting the Health and Hospital Corporation of Marion County. What was surprising was that the Biden administration threw us under the bus when it came to the nursing home question. I was shocked by that and very disappointed because, you know, the Biden administration claims that they care about the elderly nursing home patients and, you know, they want to improve conditions. But that was not demonstrated at all in this lawsuit. They actually wanted to deprive nursing home patients of their rights. And that was shocking. Now, on the other hand, with all the attorneys general that came in, you know, all of them were very, very ultra conservative, mm-hmm. You know, right wing, you know, Republican attorneys general. And they really were pursuing the Federalist Society agenda. with this case. You know, there's this push to sort of, you know, move the power away from the federal government more to the states.
Right.
And the other thing that they're trying to do is deprive Americans of their civil rights. You know, so there's been this push now for many years to deprive, you know, to chip away at the rights of the American people. Really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, both on at the federal level and at the state level. So, you know, it's been going on for many years. So I guess I wasn't that surprised at the big guns that came out. This was really the quintessential David versus Goliath battle. And to me, this was the battle for the soul of our nation, really, because it was really going to exemplify, you know, who we are as Americans. You know, do we believe that, you know, we should protect the elderly and the disabled and make sure that all of us have our civil rights intact, you know, or are we going to basically allow the government entities like Marion County to abuse and exploit and, you know, deprive, you know, the elderly nursing home patients of their rights, because that's what's happening. What you have in the state of Indiana is basically the systemic abuse and neglect of nursing home patients, of the elderly and the disabled in these nursing homes. It's systemic. And nobody has come to help these nursing home patients, certainly not the federal government, the Department of Health and Human Services, Office of the Inspector General, which I know, you know, people have reached out to them in the past. I have as well. You know, I've reached out to the DOJ. You know, they've totally ignored us. You know, it's not like I didn't pursue other avenues to sort of complain about the situation here once I found out what was going on.
One of the things that's so puzzling to me about this case is that it was completely ignored by the mainstream media and the national media. There was a lot of coverage in the local media, of course, as well as in the specialty media focused on the Supreme Court. But no news of this case ever appeared on the likes of CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, The Washington Post, The New York Times. They all have full-time justice reporters. So why do you think they ignored this story?
Well, I mean, that's hard for me to answer because I'm not sort of an expert at you know, the media. I mean, I personally think that, you know, it's a failure of American journalism not to cover this story.
Agreed.
This was a monumental story. This was going to affect the rights of 100 million people, the very important civil rights. This, if we had lost this case, I can guarantee you there would have been, you know, the most vulnerable, marginalized, you know, disenfranchised people in our society who really depend on the social safety net. It would have led to death for some of these people if they were not able to vindicate their rights in federal court. And the fact that the American media totally ignored this, I mean, just shows the sorry state of American journalism, you know, because this was, you know, a Supreme Court case that they ignored. And, you know, my theory is they ignored it deliberately. You know, this has to do with poor people, you know, and, you know, it didn't fit maybe a narrative that they like to go for. I mean, certainly once we won the case, they should have covered it. But again, it didn't fit the narrative of the sort of left-leaning liberal media, right? Here's a case where the Supreme Court actually made the right decision, came in on behalf of the people. You know, they really just like to criticize the Supreme Court of the United States. I mean, that's what's been happening the last few years with the Supreme Court. It's just been a constant assault on the Supreme Court. And in this case, and in many other cases, the Supreme Court did make the right decision. And you know, they should be commended for that. Well, you know, they did their job correctly.
Let me ask you about that. This decision is monumental, as you said. It gives people now the right to sue under Section 1983. To the best of your knowledge, has that happened? Have there been significant changes made in the industry since this decision?
You know, there are only about 1,500 or so nursing homes that are publicly owned across the country, but more than half of those are here in the state of Indiana.
Wow.
So it's going to make a big, big difference here in Indiana. And also I know in Pennsylvania and some other places, it might affect, you know, some other kinds of facilities, you know, that are state owned. You know, this will definitely now have impact, certainly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Health and Hospital Corporation of Marion County has a choice. They can either improve the quality of care or they will be subjected to civil rights lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And those civil rights lawsuits, you know, can come with pretty hefty penalties, you know, and also with punitive damages.
Susie, thank you so much for being with us. It's a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Susie Tylefsky's story proves that one person can indeed make a positive difference in the lives of countless others. It all comes down to simply doing the right thing. Some issues really are black or white, right or wrong. If you know in your heart that you're right, you have to go with it. American commentator Dennis Prager said recently, quote, "If you build a society in which children honor their parents, your society will long survive." Susie Tylefsky honored her father, and in doing so, she honored so many mothers and fathers across the United States. That's what it means to be a whistleblower. And thank you to our viewers for joining us for another episode of The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We'll see you next time.